From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Acts as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled Division Among the People of God. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. Today's text is found in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace, not in one grace only, but in all grace. Grow in that root grace, faith. Believe the promises more firmly than you have done. Let faith increase in fullness, constancy, simplicity. Grow also in love. Ask that your love may become extended, more intense, more practical, influencing every thought, word, and deed. Grow likewise in humility. Seek to lie very low and know more of your own nothingness. As you grow downward in humility, seek also to grow upward, having nearer approaches to God in prayer and more intimate fellowship with Jesus. May God the Holy Spirit enable you to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. He who grows not in the knowledge of Jesus refuses to be blessed. To know Him is life eternal, and to advance in the knowledge of Him is to increase in happiness. He who does not long to know more of Christ knows nothing of Him yet. Whoever hath sipped this wine will thirst for more. For although Christ doth satisfy, yet it is such a satisfaction that the appetite is not cloyed, but whetted. If you know the love of Jesus, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so will you pant for deeper draughts of His love. If you do not desire to know Him better, then you love Him not. For love always cries, nearer, nearer. Absence from Christ is hell, but the presence of Jesus is heaven. Rest not then content without an increasing acquaintance with Jesus. Seek to know more of Him in His divine nature, in His human relationship, in His finished work, in His death, in His resurrection, in His present glorious intercession, and in His future royal advent. Abide hard by the cross and search the mystery of His wounds. An increase of love to Jesus and a more perfect apprehension of His love to us is one of the best tests of growth in grace.
I know.
Joy and comfort give you. Take.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns comes to chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Whereas the previous chapter closed with the apostles rejoicing in persecution, chapter 6 begins with a problem which arose in the church, namely division. There was discontent among the Grecians because their widows were neglected in the daily provision of food within the body of believers. As Dr. Cairns will remind us, great blessing is often followed by attacks of the devil. When Satan cannot succeed in external assaults, he often resorts to causing strife within the church, a tactic which can be much more serious than trouble from the outside. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message called Division Among the People of God.
We're continuing this morning with our studies in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and we're reading in chapter 6. Chapter 6 of the book of Acts, reading together the first 7 verses. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this brief passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. These opening verses of Acts chapter 6 give us another example of how God overrules the attacks of the devil for his own glory. What we have in these opening verses of chapter 6 is really the devil's continuing ploy, started in chapter 5 through Ananias and Sapphira, to seek to destroy the church of Jesus Christ from the inside. And in chapter 6 we find that once again the Lord turns back the attack of the devil, but not only turns it back, but he uses what was supposed to be for the weakening of the witness of the church of Christ to strengthen the church. Because as a result of this particular attack of the devil and of sin, we find that men like Stephen were brought to the forefront, and they lent a whole new dimension to the work of God and to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this morning we're not going to think on Stephen or indeed on any of the deacons as men and as servants of God in themselves. As the Lord leads next Sabbath day, we will consider Stephen a little more fully, one of the most outstanding characters in all the New Testament scriptures. But today we want just to look at these preliminary verses in chapter 6. We want to think basically of three things. And I think there's a message here for this church and indeed for every church. First of all, we are faced here with the problem, which is division. Division in the ranks of the people of God. Then we have from verse 2 through to verse 6 the solution to that problem, and the solution given by the Lord was deacons. Now, they are not named deacons here, but very obviously from other passages of Scripture, that is the official title which belongs to the man who did the job that these seven were set aside to do. So the solution given by the Lord was deacons. And then finally in verse 7 we have the results of all this, and you can see very clearly that that result is development. The church of Christ developing, multiplying, and growing in fruitfulness, developing by the grace and power of the Lord. Now that's the plan of the message. I always like, or at least usually like, to give it before we start, so that if I don't get there, at least you can study it a little further and get there on your own. We're going to think first in verse 1 of the problem of division amongst the people of God. Notice first the multitude here, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. We want to think of the multitude and their murmuring. In those days, just underline that. In days of blessing, in days of soul winning, in days when the people of God are together in great unity, in days when they know how to pray for each other and pray with each other, in days when heaven comes down and fills every meeting with the glory of God, in days when the devil is on the run and the forces of hell are being scattered and the cause of Christ is being blessed, in days when the people of God feel that they are exalted in soul to the very gates of heaven and they're getting a clear vision of the beauty of the Savior, in those days there arose a murmuring. In those days sin came into the people of God. In those days, the whole work of God was threatened, so as it was on the very verge of being brought to a halt. You will notice very clearly, therefore, that when the work of God flourishes, you can always expect the kick back from the devil. When the work of God is being blessed, you can certainly be on your guard for the devil's counterattack. You will find this in Scripture, and you will find it in church history, where the Lord goes on the offensive against the powers of darkness, where He carries His people forward in blessing. There is always the counter-offensive of hell. This is certainly what's happening here. If you study the history of Europe in the time of the Reformation, you'll find that's exactly what happened in the Reformation days. You will find that when the Church of Christ made great gains, and when the preaching of the gospel went forward by leaps and bounds, while normally our attention is fixed on that work and upon the Reformation, and we think of great men like Luther and his changing of Germany, we think of great men like Calvin and his changing of France and then of Switzerland, and with an influence that reached right across Europe and right across the world indeed ultimately. We often overlook the fact that there came a counter to the Reformation. And it's a sobering thought that once Spain seemed to be opening up to the gospel, but it was regained for paganism and for popery. Once France was open to the gospel, and indeed there was a time it had a Huguenot population that made it one of the strongest of countries for the gospel. But there was a counter thrust so that today, and indeed for generations but before today, France is a pagan and mostly an atheistic country, almost devoid of gospel light. Where you get the thrust of the gospel, you will always find the counter thrust of the devil. We can certainly expect that in this day, that the devil will kick back against the preaching of the Word of God. Now, this is especially to be guarded against when the church is growing. Not every blessing is associated with numbers. There is a sense in which a church will be probably more peaceful when it's small, although that's not always the case. And very often when you get a lack of peace in a very small church, you have terrible trouble because you don't have too many people to lose to start with, and if you lose the half of them, you're really in trouble. But normally, you will find that things can go a lot more happily in a small church because you have the family atmosphere, you have the closeness, you have the opportunity to know the people better, you have the opportunity for each person to be in some sort of vital contact with each other, one around them, and you can therefore bear each other's burdens the more easily. But when things increase, when numbers make the church to grow into a multitude, then very often difficulties arise. Especially, you know, there's a message for us here in Greenville. Especially when the multitudes start coming from different backgrounds, different outlooks, different cultures. This is what happened here. We have the Grecians and the Hebrews. Now, I don't need to labor the point. They are not Greeks. They are not Gentiles. They are Grecians. They are Jews and proselytes to Judaism, who are generally known as Hellenists. They came from outside the country of Israel. They were Greek-speaking. They were the kind of people who used not the Hebrew Scriptures, but the Septuagint version of the Old Testament written in Greek. They were the kind of people who not only spoke Greek and read Greek, but they had imbibed a lot of Greek philosophy and a lot of Greek culture into their background. On the other hand, the Hebrews were the Jews of the land. And before they came to Christ, these were two groups in Judaism that, to put it gently, they rubbed each other up the wrong way. It was just like two bits of sandpaper rubbing up against each other. And that's the way they were before they were saved. And now when they are saved, there is the possibility of friction. I would say that they were even worse than Yankees and Dixielanders. And they may even have been worse than the north and south of Ireland even. And that's saying something. Because they certainly did not get along. Now they come into the church. They're saved. They have a common love for Christ. But you know, that doesn't change their background. Doesn't change some of the mental attitudes that they would automatically have. It didn't change the innate suspicion of one group for another. And therefore, when they come together, the devil's just ready to play on this. And so he does. He plays on the natural and the nationalistic differences among the people. He plays upon differences of culture, background, and character. And by playing on those things, he sets one group in the Church of Jesus Christ against the other. And so causes division in their midst. Now that is something that we certainly need to be ever on our guard against. The Lord, when he saves us, doesn't make us all in the same mold. Now, there are things upon which I will accept no difference and let a person stay in membership in the church. If a person wants to believe that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, he has the right so to believe. If he wants to be a fool, he can be a fool. But he'll not be such a fool and be a Free Presbyterian, I'll tell you that. He wants to deny the blood of Christ. He can do it. And he has every freedom to go up and down America preaching against the blood of Christ. But he'll not be accepted as a member in this church. If he wants to deny the verbal inspiration of Scripture, he can do so. He has every right to do so. But he'll not do so as a Free Presbyterian. There are some things upon which I will accept absolutely no deviation. But you know, there are differences in people that we've just got to accept. Now, if everybody were just like me, this church would be chaos. And I'd be the first to admit that. If everybody were like me, I'll tell you to be quite honest, I couldn't get along with them. Because there's one person I fight with more than anybody else, and it's not my wife, it's myself. And I think if any Christian's honest, he'd admit the same thing. I well remember reading a piece by Dr. Bob the Third's wife and hearing her speak it on the radio, her greatest enemy. And the one she found it most hard to get along with and the one she found it most hard to forgive. And after being as catty as only a woman can be, or seeming to be as catty as only a woman can be, and you could just hear people getting their hackles up and saying, man, that's no example for a Christian. And she was just about to name this unfortunate person. She named herself. And I thought there's a lot of truth in that. If everybody were just like you, or just like me, what a place this would be. But, you know, on the other hand, if we are not willing to accept that everybody's not just like you and me, and that there are differences in background, and that there are differences of outlook, and that these things must be not overlooked, but simply accepted. I'm not talking now about blatant sinfulness. We don't accept that. But I am talking about things that you just don't happen to say, well, that's the way I like it. We don't learn to accept those things. We're headed for trouble. The Church of Jesus Christ is a putting together of people. And wherever you have people, you have the potential for greatness, but you have also the potential for trouble. Unless we adopt scriptural common sense in the matter.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.